Next on Westmoreland Saturday Morning, it's Heritage Happenings brought to you by St. Vincent College here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and westmorelandgold.net.
Greetings, Westmoreland County. My name is Jessica Petrovich, and I am your Westmoreland Heritage Director and host of Heritage Happenings here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and westmorelandgold.net, sponsored by St. Vincent College. Heritage Happenings is also available as a podcast on all of your favorite streaming services. At the end of today's show, we will hear some details about the brand new 8th Catholic Arts Biennial to be held at St. Vincent College's Verostko Center for the Arts. That exhibition opened on September 6th and will run through October 29th, so stay tuned to the end of the show for details on that exhibition. Please check out Westmoreland Heritage at westmorelandheritage.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for updates on cultural and historical events throughout Westmoreland County. We have a full show today featuring guests from the Scottsdale Historical Society, Bushy Run Battlefield, the Westmoreland Arts and Heritage Festival, and the Irwin Business and Professional Association. Our first guest, Ian Uhouse, is on call with us from the Scottsdale Historical Society. Ian, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me back, Jessica. It's great to be able to do this once again. So it's been a while.
Yes, it has been a long time. I was looking back, I think, gosh, earlier in the year, or maybe even late last year is the last time we talked about your great stuff. So starting off, what great events are coming up for the Scottsdale Historical Society? Fall is kind of your special time of year now.
Yeah, that is certainly true. We just started over the last couple years doing a new program that we call Shadows of Scottsdale. And this is a walking tour that takes place through downtown and the surrounding areas of Scottsdale itself. Tours last usually about an hour, and these tours are all based off of true historical horrible things. Just to, you know, give a little synopsis of what some of these stories are, they're all true, fact-based, pre-1940.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't a typical ghost story that you might see in different, or a ghost tour that you would get in different areas of, you know, the U.S. We've done research, so we have some facts based on all of these stories themselves. Like one of them this year that we're looking to talk about would be Hell's Half Acre and Murder Bridge.
Oh, wow.
So for years, newspapers referred to one of Scottsdale's neighborhoods as Hell's Half Acre. After a railroad accident, it revealed to be the murder of an Italian immigrant shot twice with his own gun. Local authorities dig into 17 murder cases in a period of less than 20 years in this small neighborhood.
Wow.
So we do, you know, this year we're looking to do roughly 8 to 10 stops to have these stories told. And we do these on Saturdays in October.
Well, this is the perfect way to kick off the spooky season of October. And I know, did this start 2 or 3 years ago?
Yes, this is going to be our third year of doing the tours. We keep the groups a little bit smaller just for COVID reasons and everything as well. But we try to do 2 to 3 tours per evening based on demand.
Mm-hmm.
And they start in the evenings, usually duskish. You know, we want to have that mood with, you know, the moonlight
yes.
and darkness and by street light. And these tours do take place rain or shine, or I should say rain or by moonlight.
Yes. Rain or moonlight. And, you know, you mentioned kind of the special thing about these Shadows of Scottsdale tours, which I want to add have been wildly popular. I think that this is one of the most popular Halloween events in the area. So don't miss it if you haven't gone before. But one of the things that you mentioned that's so important is, you know, this isn't, it's kind of part legend, but also it's incredibly fact-based. You're not just pulling these out of thin air to make scary stories to share around the campfire.
That is correct. We do our research. We want to make sure that we are as factual as possible. You know, limited embellishments. You know, we try to even talk to family members that, you know, may have had these stories passed down if we can.
Oh, that's fascinating.
You know, we had a story last year and even the year before that was referred to as the Pine Tree Blast that you know, there was a hardware store in town that, you know, serviced everything. And they also had dynamite and other explosives, but they obviously didn't keep those in the store itself. They kept them well off property. Mm-hmm. And there were a group of young boys that like to use that building as target practice to sight in their weapons. And one day things did not go well. And a descendant of the family still has the rifle that was used. And,
oh, wow.
You know, from that. So, you know, being able to hear his family's story and the way that things, you know, happened, you know, it's good to have those true facts in there as well.
Well, Ian, this is so exciting to have this event happening again. And, you know, we have a packed show today, so unfortunately we have to move on to the next guest. But this is the biggest event coming up from the Scottsdale Historical Society, Shadows of Scottsdale, a 1-hour walking tour through downtown Scottsdale, fact-based, and they will occur Saturdays evenings around dusk in October. Ian, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yep, absolutely. And you can find out more information at our website, ScottsdaleHistoricalSociety.com, or on our Facebook page.
Perfect. And you just took the next line right out of my mouth here. That's perfect. All right. Thanks,
All right.
Ian. Have a great morning.
All right, thanks, Jessica. You too. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
This is Heritage Happenings, the show with the latest information on Westmoreland County cultural and historical events and organizations. I'm Jessica Petrovich. Thanks to our sponsor, St. Vincent College, for supporting our show today. Our next guest, Sean McIntyre, is on call with us from Bushy Run Battlefield. Sean, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, so what great events are coming up for Bushy Run Battlefield? You have a very busy fall and winter season coming up here.
Yeah, we definitely have a very busy fall coming up. Starting this Saturday, actually, we have our Paws in the Park event. Probably the largest amount of visitors we have in the park is dogs every day. most of what I see is dogs, actually, in the park. So we have an annual event. Well, this is the second one. We had our last one in 2019 called Paws in the Park. It is a fair-like atmosphere. It starts at 11 a.m. on Saturday. And basically, we have a bunch of things for dogs to do and their owners as well. And we have like a photo booth and everything else. And they'll get a chance for the dogs to play around a little bit and have a little fun.
Well, and what a great way for both human and pet to explore Bushy Run Battlefield, too. And I remember the event 2 years ago now. It was just so popular, and I think that folks are going to look forward to a return for that again this year.
Yeah, we're pretty happy about it. I'm looking forward to it myself. This is my first time at the event or running it, so I'm pretty happy to and excited to have it because I'm a dog owner myself. So.
Oh, perfect. Good.
All right, and then next Wednesday, we actually continue our History Speaks series with Joe Bray, who is, I'm sorry, George Bray, who is a historian up in New York State, and he's talking about John Bradstreet and Fort Frontenac during the French and Indian War. So that's you can actually access that through our Facebook events, or it will be on our website later on today. And it's a online Zoom call where you can ask questions of the gentleman, and he's going to give a good information about John Bradstreet.
Oh, wonderful. And this is accessible to anybody with an internet connection. So a good
yes,
way to connect with Bushy Run, even if you can't physically get there. Wonderful.
Most definitely. And then next weekend, we have our Bushy Run Fall Nature Walk. Our naturalist Lindsay comes out, and she takes people on a walk at about 10 a.m. and they get to explore some of the nature trails inside Bushy Run and learn a little bit about the flora and fauna inside the park.
And Bushy Run's grounds, you know, if you've seen the museum portion, the grounds extend for, you know, I don't know the exact number, but a wide amount of space to explore. And this is a perfect time of year to go and check out the grounds and learn a little bit more that you may not have known about Bushy Run.
Yeah, we have, I believe it's 235 acres, so
wow.
We're actually a pretty big park. So it gives a lot of space to run around. Across the street from the park, there is still part of the park, which is just nothing but nature trails and a Boy Scout camping area. So there's actually a good bit of space to travel inside the park.
Well, and, you know, we have these great fall-themed events coming up, and after the Fall Nature Walk, I think it is your tea coming up after that as well?
Yeah, we actually have on Sunday, October 3rd, we have a children's tea. So that's mainly for the children. They come in, they're actually going to learn some etiquette lessons from our tea ladies, and they're we allow one parent per family, so as many kids as they want to bring, and they get to come enjoy a tea. The kids will be learning some etiquette, including like how to set a table properly. So that's pretty early for, so it's, I believe it's, children 5 to 8 are allowed at it. So, it's definitely something for the younger crowd and we love to see them there.
That's great. And, you know, Bushy Run is such a family friendly attraction. You know, any time of the year you can bring your family around to enjoy everything. And it's nice to have an event that's designed specifically for the kids too.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. We also have our Lady C, or not Lady C, our Bushy Run Fall Tea coming up. It tends to be mostly ladies. I don't understand why. But so that's actually coming up October 16th, and we actually only have 2 tickets left available for that.
It's, oh, wow. Act
it's a
fast.
Very popular event. So we're... Yeah, by the time this airs, we may actually be sold out of that. So.
Well, yeah, check and see.
And yep, then we usually have a waiting list. So.
Wrapping up at the end of October, too, do you have more of your paranormal battlefield tours? I know that there was just one that happened in September, but is there one that happens in October as well?
We will not have one in October. We looked at the calendar. It's just not going to work out because we actually have our 100th day ride.
That's what I'm thinking of. Okay, yeah. Great.
Yeah, the hayride will happen October 23rd, unless there's rain, and then it'll happen October 30th. Tickets will go on sale for that on October 1st at noon, and that's another one that sells out pretty quickly, so we're hoping to get a lot of people in for that.
Well, Sean, thank you so much. There's always just a million things happening at Bushy Run, one of our area's wonderful, great attractions. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Please check out Bushy Run Battlefield at bushyrunbattlefield.com, and you can also find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This is Heritage Happenings, the show with the latest information on Westmoreland County cultural and historical events and organizations. I'm Jessica Petrovich. Thanks to our sponsor, St. Vincent College, for supporting our show today. Our third guest, Diane Schrader, is on call with us from the Westmoreland Arts and Heritage Festival. Diane, thank you so much for being on call today.
Well, it's a pleasure being here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, and I am so excited to talk about the Arts and Heritage Festival being celebrated in a new and unique way this year. So, of course, this is an adjustment from the usual big 4-day festival in June/July every year. So what does this upcoming adjusted mini festival look like? It's sure to be a good time.
Well, yes, it is going to be a good time. Because of the COVID situation for the last 2 years, we wanted to just let the public know that we're here, provide something for our visitors and our vendors to get out and about, and no better place than our host, Twin Lakes Park. So as the name states, it is a mini festival,
yes.
And it's a sample of everything that we offer at our signature event every July. So we will have crafters, we'll have fine art, we have one stage of music from local bands and performers, and of course there will be children's activities, which will be offered at no cost. And we just found out that we are going to have a local farm here, and they're going to be offering pumpkins and gourds, so you can come and pick your pumpkin when you're done having
wonderful.
A great time at the end of the day. So we're thankful that we're able to do this. InFirst Bank is presenting this so that they're also involved with the community and supporting the festival, so we're very, very thankful to them to be able to support us. So we're just going to have a great day of fun. Now, normally we cover about 8 acres. This is going to be a mini festival, so we're going to be covering 1 acre. There will be parking on site for the public at the normal parking lots. There will not be any shuttle service. This is just a one-day event,
mm-hmm.
October 2nd, and that's going to take place from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m.
Well, and what a beautiful way to welcome, you know, the fall season. And I'm so excited that you have a farm that'll bring the pumpkins and gourds in, because to me, that's just the definition of a fall festival right there, being able to pick out your decor and make some fun jack-o'-lanterns at home, too.
Yes, and it's a great opportunity for people to get out and enjoy themselves at the park and even make a day of it. Now, we have some great local entertainment, and they will perform on our Laurel stage, and we do have sound offered by Red Bachman, so everybody will be able to hear everything that's going on the stages, and we're thankful to those local performers to come out and support us. And also, the Penn Trafford School is bringing their chorus. So they will perform in the downtime when the stages are down and moving the equipment. Mm-hmm. They will perform for us, so people will also have the opportunity to hear them. So we're just plugging along here and just making sure that everybody's going to have a great time.
Yes, and what a beautiful way to involve a local school district too. And this will be a nice family-friendly day to bring, you know, everybody out, enjoy. Hopefully it'll be beautiful weather at this time of year, and the leaves should be hinting towards change at that point. So it'll just be, I think that this is going to be a really special event. You know, of course, this is not the usual summer experience, but I'm a fall girl myself. So I'm looking forward to this a lot.
Well, the county will still have their boats for rent, so you can even take a paddle boat ride.
Oh, wonderful.
From a different view, but we're encompassing everyone from the senior citizens to the very young, and also those in between who are still young at heart.
I love that, Diane. And is there anything else to share from the Westmoreland Arts and Heritage Festival?
I just want to let everybody know to go to our website, artsandheritage.com, click on the mini festival tab. You'll see all the crafters who are going to be here in our lineup and entertainment, and also our information for 2022 is available. So you can take a look at that and see what's going to be offered for 2022, because we're rolling ahead.
Oh, wonderful. Diane, thank you so much. And just to recap, this Westmoreland Arts and Heritage mini festival will be held Saturday, October 2nd from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can find all of the classics, crafters, fine arts, local bands, free children's activities, and some special fall pumpkins. And Diane, this is sponsored by InFirst Bank. Is that correct?
That is correct. We're so happy that they're joining us with this.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me and letting me be able to share festival information with everyone.
Absolutely. And please check out the Westmoreland Arts and Heritage Festival at artsandheritage.com, and you can also find them on Facebook and Twitter. This is Heritage Happenings, the show with the latest information on Westmoreland County cultural and historical events and organizations. I'm Jessica Petrovich. Thanks to our sponsor, St. Vincent College, for supporting our show today. Our final guest, Ed Sam, is on call with us from the Irwin Business and Professional Association. Ed, thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
Well, Jessica, thank you very much for having me.
So the IBPA, the Irwin Business and Professional Association, always has a list of just the best events going on in downtown Irwin. So, Ed, I would love for you to share what's happening throughout the rest of this year that folks can enjoy.
Well, the first thing I'm going to share with you is what happened this past Saturday, which was the gig on Main. The reason I bring that up is because there were just thousands of people there.
Oh, wonderful.
And three wonderful musical groups. The Clarks, the String Theory Duo, and the Sun King Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
They were there. And the band, they were just so great. And it was from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. because we don't do things little. We do things the right way and the big way.
I love it. I love it. I'm so glad to hear that was a success.
Yes, it was. Yes, so it was fantastic. Now, coming up on the 18th is Sing for Their Supper. And what it is singing for their supper. It's karaoke, people can get up and sing for raising money for the food bank as well.
Oh, that's and beautiful.
That'll be in downtown Irwin on 4th Street under the arch, and that's from 10 to 2. And also, that same day, the Fall Craft Show is that day, and that'll be on Main Street there and from 9 to 3. So it's a great thing in Irwin.
And a perfect way to, you know, bring the community together, not only to enjoy, you know, the crafts and the shops and everything, but also to give back in a small way to the local food bank. Really beautiful.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It is. It makes me feel good, you know, when I do that, and especially when I get up there and sing.
Not to be missed, huh?
That's right, because one thing that I do is, I like to sing the Beatles because I was in a band in the 60s, and actually we made some records, got some 45 records in 1964.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Bring those with you.
Okay. Yeah. So that's really good.
Wonderful. And, what else do we have coming up from the IBPA?
Oh, well, on October 23rd, that's near Halloween, store-to-store trick-or-treat. In other words, the children can walk around to the stores, and the first 500 kids that go to the participating stores get candy.
Ooh.
And whether they're dressed or whether they're not dressed. But I can tell you, in the past years, everybody was dressed. All the children were dressed, and most of their parents were dressed, too.
Oh, my gosh, why would you miss the opportunity? You know, everybody loves the Halloween costume times.
Yeah, and then following that, since we have a good relationship with the Irwin Borough Council, they're going to actually do the children's Halloween parade. We used to do it all the time, and now they took it over, and they're going to do it they did it the last couple of years, and again this year. And that takes place at 3:00 on Main Street.
And that's the same day as the store-to-store trick-or-treat, that October 23rd
day?
Yes,
October 23rd. Yes, thank you, yes. Yes, and we're working on something for the Ghost Walk. We're doing something there. We don't have it finalized yet, but we are going to do something towards the end of October as well.
Great. Good and month. Then, I love October.
Yeah. And after that, in November, it's Ladies' Night.
Oh, and that is the big night, yes.
Yeah, and one of the things that we do at Ladies' Night is no men are allowed. Except for me, because I film everything in Irwin.
You're the only one to be found for miles.
Yes.
I love it. What are the special events of...
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I was just going to ask the special deals and events of Ladies' Night in downtown Irwin.
Oh, there's a lot of things. And in fact, we even have a limousine that drives the women around or the ladies around, not the women, the ladies around that want to go to different places and stuff like that. And we have some beverages that they get for free in different stores and stuff like that. And the nice thing is we get people in these events from Irwin, but also from the entire community surrounding Irwin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really good.
And it's wonderful, too, that, you know, the events take place in Irwin, but really it's the greater community that can come together and celebrate. It's not, you
That's
know,
right.
just restricted to a small group of people. As you said, you know, you do things big and correct in Irwin.
And as my DJ cousin, Daddy G, says, Irwin, the biggest little town in Pennsylvania. And we trademarked that, so that nobody else can use it except us.
Well, and Irwin always lives up to that legacy, just with all of these mm-hmm. wonderful events. And anything else after Ladies' Night happening you'd like to share?
Yeah, we have Small Business Saturday, which is an American Express thing. But we all the stores participate in that Small Business Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on November 27th. And in December sometime, there'll be a Christmas tour for each one of the stores.
Oh, well, Ed, thank you so much for all these events this morning. And the public can check out the Irwin Business and Professional Association events at downtownirwin.com. And you can also find them on Facebook under Downtown Irwin as well. Ed, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank Thank you so much, Jessica. You take care now.
Thank you. You too.
So long now. Bye-bye.
This is Heritage Happenings, the show with the latest information on Westmoreland County cultural and historical events and organizations. I'm Jessica Petrovich. Thanks to our sponsor, St. Vincent College, for supporting our show today. Before we close, we have a quick announcement to share from our show sponsor, St. Vincent College. St. Vincent and the Verostko Center for the Arts will be hosting the 8th Annual Catholic Arts Biennial. This is opening, well, it has opened on September 6th in the brand new Verostko Center for the Arts at St. Vincent College, and this exhibit will run through October 29th. The opening reception occurred on September 12th and had a public lecture on contemporary Christian art from the juror for this year's exhibition, David Brinker. Mr. Brinker is the director of the Museum of Contemporary Religious Art at St. Louis University. Following the lecture, attendees were invited to the Verostko Center for the Arts to view the biennial exhibition. Off-campus guests who were not able to attend the reception, but if you still wish to view the exhibition, must make an appointment prior to visit the center. Appointments can be made by emailing Verostko Center, V-E-R-O-S-T-K-O Center, at stvincent.edu. That's all we have time for today. Be sure to stay safe and healthy. Take some time to visit and enjoy our Westmoreland County cultural and historic events and sites. And of course, be sure to check out St. Vincent College and all of its recent accomplishments. On the show today, we were privileged to welcome the Scottsdale Historical Society, talking about the Shadows of Scottsdale walking tour, Bushy Run Battlefield sharing some of their highlights for upcoming events, including today's Pause in the Park event and the upcoming Fall Nature Walk and Tees. Then we were joined by the Westmoreland Arts and Heritage Festival to talk about their special mini festival to be held this year on Saturday, October 2nd, including all of the attractions you love from the festival: crafters, fine arts, local bands, free children's activities, and special pumpkins and gourds. That festival this year is brought to you by InFirst Bank. And we closed out today's show hearing from the Irwin Business and Professional Association with all of their wonderful events coming up in downtown Irwin. Highlights include the Fall Craft Show, Small Business Saturday in November, and a store-to-store trick or treat for the children in October, followed by their Halloween parade. Follow Westmoreland Heritage on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and check out all of our information on westmorelandheritage.org. This has been Jessica Petrovich, your Westmoreland Heritage Director and host for Heritage Happenings here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and westmorelandgold.net, sponsored by St. Vincent College. Heritage Happenings is also available as a podcast on all of your favorite streaming services. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. Until next time.
How will your college experience transform you? How will you learn to make a difference in your life and the lives of others? At St. Vincent College, we attract high-achieving students who quite naturally place we ahead of me. A small college like St. Vincent gives you more access to the opportunities that will shape your future.
At St. Vincent College, we succeed. Together.
Together.
Discover the power of we. Learn more now at stvincent.edu.